Let's open this morning with a word of prayer.
我们一起祷告。
And now, Father, as we come before you to examine your word,
天父，我们来到你面前，我们研读你的话语。
We pray that you would open our minds and hearts so that we would see and we would understand.
请求你打开我们的心，我们不但能看，也能够了解。
Help us, Lord, not only to realize what these words on the page are saying.
帮助我们，不但我们了解这些纸上写的字什么意思。
But we would realize and begin to practice their importance in our lives. Be with us during this time. We pray in our Son's precious name. Amen. Last week, we recently completed a series going through the Ten Commandments, really from a perspective of the New Testament.
上个礼拜我们讲完了一连串的讲及有关十诫，是从新约里这一方面来看这十诫。
And so over the next several months,
下面几个月之中，
I would like to begin to look closely at the concept of the church's mission.
我们会仔细的看看有关教会的使命。
What is our purpose?
我们的目的。
Why are we here?
我们为什么要在这里？
And I would like to begin to get into specifics of what does missions and a church missions program look like.
我想跟你们讨论一下仔细的教会的使命是什么。
But the foundation for missions,
这个有关使命的基础，
is the text in Matthew, which we just read.
就是我们刚刚念过的，在马太福音里面的经节。
Now, in order to understand what's going on in this text,
我们要了解这个经节的意思的话，
we have to begin to realize the whole scope of what has come before it.
我们要了解在这个以前所发生的一切的事情。
In the pages of the Old Testament,
在旧约圣经里面，
out of every nation of the world,
在全世界每一个国家，
God chose one nation through which to pour his blessing.
神拣选了一个国家来接受他的祝福。
The nation of Israel.
这就是以色列。
And in Exodus chapter 19,
在出埃及记十九章，
he sets up Israel as a kingdom of priests.
他把以色列做一个祭司的国度。
And this kingdom is contingent upon their obedience.
在这个国度呢，是要靠着他们的顺服。
If the people of Israel are obedient in their worship to God,
假如以色列人在崇拜神方面他们的顺从的话，
then they would remain in the land and there would be great blessing poured upon them.
他们就在他们地上，他们会神给他们很多的福气。
If they were disobedient to God,
假如他们不顺服神，
they would be torn from the land,
他们就要从那个地里面出去，
and great curses poured upon them.
就有大的灾难降在他们。
But every time that these curses are listed,
所以每一次对他们的诅咒写出来的时候，
there's always listed this time of restoration that's coming through one man.
都会记载到从一个人得来的复兴。
And so in the book of Matthew,
所以马太福音，
when Jesus comes,
当耶稣来的时候，
he offers to the Jewish people,
他给犹太人，
to restore this kingdom,
替他们来重现他们的国度。
And as we know that the Jewish people reject him,
但是我们知道犹太人拒绝了他。
And in their rejection,
在他们拒绝的时候，
the final step of the rejection is that they crucified him.
他们拒绝的终点是他们把耶稣钉死。
And they said, this man will not be king over us.
他们说这个人不能做我们的王。
And an extreme statement of irony.
所以在这一个很大的一个讽刺之中，
the sign over the cross stated, this is Jesus, the king of the Jews.
在他死的时候，他头上的写的这个耶稣是犹太人的王。
But we also know that he did not remain dead.
我们也知道他并没有一直死。
And he was raised from the dead. After spending 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And it's the basis of the death and resurrection that there is any forgiveness of sins. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And this is the gospel message. That there is life where there was previously death. That life is eternal. That your sins can be forgiven. And that you can have a relationship with God. And during this time of Jewish rejection, Jesus begins to set up in the book of Matthew.
So,
the rudiments of an organization. An organization of believers. And we know this organization to be the church. And so in Matthew chapter 28, the last thing that Matthew pens as he's finishing his book, is the marching orders of the church. This is what the church is to be doing. And so this is what Scripture says in verses 18-20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. The text that we just read is known as the Great Commission. And it was really a text that was largely ignored until about sometime during the
1600s.
Many within the church throughout the time. Between really the ending of the New Testament period and about the time of the Reformation. They believed that these verses solely applied to the ones to whom it was given, to the apostles. And so to them, Christianity was a deep and intense personal religion. But then it stopped. A generation after Martin Luther, there's a German missionary by the name of Justinian von Welz. And Justinian von Welz was a missionary to the country known today as Suriname.
So von Welz, 他是到现在一个 Suriname 那边去做传道工作的.
And he, in his preaching on missions, termed this text as the Great Commission. He was eventually to die in the country of Suriname. But still, this idea of Great Commission wasn't really used widely. Until the days of Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission, and a missionary doctor who spent many years in the country of China. And so in this text, we have the basis for missionary service. What is missions? What is a church supposed to be doing? We begin in verse 18, where Jesus says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And so the authority here is from Christ. We know from other texts of Scripture that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. He is God the Son. But not only is He God the Son, He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be king over Israel. And as the promised king of Israel, there is coming a day when ruling in Israel, he will rule over all the nations of the earth. There is a time coming when Christ will rule. He will rule physically with a rod of iron. We know from the text of Scripture that He is the judge. That in the end, it is He who is sitting on the throne. The throne of judgment. By which all must come and be judged by their works. We know from the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 29 that Jesus is teaching was with authority. It says, "For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." We know that Jesus' authority is divine. The fact that He is God Himself. Colossians chapter 2 verses 9 and 10.
在这个哥罗西书2章9节10节,
the scripture says, "For in Him," that's in Jesus, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all authority and powers." And so here in Colossians,
所以在哥罗西里面,
the Apostle Paul declares,
使徒保罗宣称,
that Jesus is the authority over everything that's in the universe. All of the demons, all of the angels, all of the people, all of the nations, all of the governments, all of the economies, Jesus rules over all of them. Now, it may not look like that at the moment, but on the basis that Jesus is God, He has authority over all of these things. His authority is derived from the Father. Look at Revelation 2, verse 26.
Let's look at 启示录二章二十六,
Revelation 2:26 and 27.
2章26节, 27节.
He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken into pieces, even as I received of my Father.
他这里说, 但那得胜又遵守我命令到底的, 我要赐给他们权柄, 制服列国, 他必用铁杖, 辖管他们, 将他们如同摇顾的瓦器, 打得粉碎, 像我从我父领受的权柄一样。
And so here Christ is saying
这里基督是说,
that all those who are overcomers, those who are believers,
凡所有的信徒得胜的,
that in the end they rule and they reign with Christ.
到最后他们跟基督一起掌权,
and the authority by which they rule is the same authority that Christ received from the Father.
他们掌权的权柄就是基督从父那里得来权柄一样。
So you can see how that the authority
你可以看到这个权柄,
is not necessarily intrinsic within the Son Himself,
并不仅仅是在圣子之争,
although He is divine,
当然他是属神性的,
the authority over by which Christ rules the world comes from the Father.
基督掌管世界一切的权利是从父来的。
And so the authority by which the gospel is spread is the authority of Christ through God the Father Himself. And so let me say that we do not take this mission lightly. It is a grave responsibility for the church to be wielding the authority of God. This is not a mission that we undertake lightly or irreverently. This is a mission that we approach with seriousness, realizing from where it comes. And so the authority is from Christ. Secondly,
第二点,
the command is to disciple.
Verse 19
says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations."
他说你们去,
this first verb here, go,
去这个字,
in the original is not a command.
在原文不是一个命令,
it's a participle.
是一个分词,
and what that means
那什么意思呢?
Is that it's subordinate to the command.
是在这个大使命里面所包括的,
here, the going is simply assumed.
所以这里去只是一个情况,
it's assumed that you're going to leave your home.
这里我们就假想,
it's assumed that you may have a job move to a different town. In the early church,
在早期的教会,
the believers were scattered through persecution.
这些门徒比的信徒们都分散到各地,
and the text of Acts says, as they went preaching the gospel.
所以当他们出去的时候, 在使徒行传,
some of you may end up going back to China. Some of you may end up moving to Singapore. Some of you may be offered a job transfer in, let's say, Brazil. Or India. And so, going is something that Christ is simply assuming is going to happen. And so the command that as you are going,
这个命使命呢,是当你们去的时候,
what you are supposed to be doing is to make disciples.
你们去做什么事呢?是要去做,
and what is the task of making disciples? We'll look at that momentarily in verse 20. But the task is clear. That as you're going along in your life, whether it's your place of work, whether you're traveling, when you go, you carry with you the gospel message. And let me say that it is not simply enough to say, well, I live like a Christian and therefore I'm doing my job of evangelism. The command here in verse 19 is active. You are to be discipling regularly the nations. It is a planned activity. I'd like to note that it says that you are to go and to teach all nations. Let's turn briefly to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, I will read for you verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So in Revelation chapter 5,
启示录第五章,
within the hosts of heaven,
在这个天堂里面,
there are those who are believers out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so we realize that the gospel isn't simply something of the West. It's not simply something of Europe or America. The gospel is for those in the Middle East. It's for those in Africa. It's for those in Asia. It's for those in North America and South America. It's for people all across the world. Of every language. Of every nationality. Whether rich or poor. Whether intelligent or a common laborer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all. So let me ask a question. As a church, do we do well to simply focus on one nation? Yes, the gospel is for the Chinese. And yes, supporting missions in China is important. But missions in Japan is just as important as well. Or South America. Or Africa. There's a real need within our church especially. As a church that's really ethnocentric around one ethnicity. That we need to realize that the gospel is not simply bound by one group of people. Our sphere of influence with the gospel must be global. We must think of people from every nation who have not heard the gospel. Our church's missions program should reflect the gospel going to every nation. Our personal evangelism should not reflect one group of people. Or people from one social status. Our personal and corporate evangelism must be a microcosm of what's going on in the entire world. Here in the Twin Cities, in your neighborhood, there are Caucasians. There are African Americans. There are Liberians. There are Nigerians. There are those from Somalia. There are Hmong. There are Vietnamese. We truly live in a place where we can, where the world is here. If you wonder if it really is, go into the local grocery store or Walmart. And look around at the people that you see. And there are people here from every nation. And so we must not get caught up in simply trying to reach our own. Yes, reaching our own is important. To Paul, he brought the gospel to the Jew first. But he spent the majority of his time focusing in on the Gentiles. And so the command is to disciple all nations. The means of fulfilling the command is twofold. Verse 19 says, baptizing them. Verse 20 says, teaching them. Let's begin with baptizing them. And in order to understand what he means by baptism, we really have to understand what the New Testament speaks of within the church when it talks of baptism. And as I regularly tell the young people, the door to the church is underwater. Baptism is the means by which one comes into fellowship with the body of Christ, the church. And I'd like to mention that within the New Testament, especially within the New Testament church, there is no unbaptized believer. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And let me show you the connection between baptism and church connection. Acts chapter 2 is the starting of the church in Jerusalem.
Acts 2:41
says, And Peter preached a message. And 3,000 people became believers that day. And look at the order of what happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word. Number one, they became believers. Verse 41, they were baptized. Number two. They became believers, then they were baptized. Number three, then there were added unto them 3,000
souls.
So the first church is 120 members. And after the first day of the first church, it was 3,120 members. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Philip goes to Samaria preaching. And in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so here you have the start of the church within Samaria. Look in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is preaching in the city of Philippi. And through an interesting set of circumstances, he's thrown into jail. And the church in Philippi has already started with a woman by the name of Lydia. And while in jail, there was the earthquake, the jail doors opened, and in the end, the jailer ended up becoming a believer. Look at verses 31-33. Verse 30 asks the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Then they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. They spoke to him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. He took them the same hour and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway.
So 31节说怎么样得救，32节说他们说当信主耶稣，你和你一家都必得救，他们就把主的道讲给他们。
And so, along with the fact that baptism is the means of church membership, the New Testament knows that no baptized believer who is not connected with the local church. And so baptism within the New Testament becomes so closely linked with the salvation conversion experience that it's actually used as a metaphor for conversion. And so Paul can say in Romans chapter 6,
Romans
verses 1 through 3.
第一节到第三节.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How then shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life.
这样怎么说呢? 我们可以仍在罪中叫恩典显多吗? 断乎不可。 我们在罪上死了的人，岂可仍在罪中活着呢？ 岂不知我们这受洗归入基督耶稣的人，是受洗归入他的死吗？
And so with Paul we ask, at what point is it that a believer, or one who claims to be a believer, dies with Christ?
所以保罗这里问，一个自称为信徒的人与基督一起受死。
And of course we would say it's at his conversion when he becomes a believer.
是什么时候发生呢? 我们可以说是在他当他受洗变成门徒的时候发生。
But baptism is so closely tied to this conversion in the New Testament.
所以在新约里面，施洗跟重生有很密切的关系。
That Paul can speak of the time that you believed as the time of your baptism.
所以保罗可以说，你信的那一刹那，也就是你施洗的那一刹那。
And so we can say safely with the New Testament.
所以我们可以按照新约圣经保险的说。
You cannot be recognized as a believer or as a disciple if you have not been baptized.
假如你还没有受过洗，你不能够被认为是一个信徒。
You cannot even be a member of the church if you are not baptized.
你没有受施洗，也不能够变成一个教会的一份子。
You can't even rightly claim to be a Christian or a believer if you are not a baptized member of a church.
假如你没有受过洗，你不能够自称你是一个教会的一份子或者是一个信徒。
And so to bring this back to Matthew,
所以我们现在回到马太福音,
a major part of the Great Commission is seeing people come to Christ and becoming a part of a church.
所以在这个大使命里面最重要的一部分是看到人来到教会里面变成教会的一份子。
Therefore, fulfillment of the Great Commission involves both church planting and church building.
这样子就可以满足大使命的要求，就是说怎么样成立建立一个教会。
You baptize new converts.
你去给新信的人施洗。
So the first step of making a disciple is baptism.
所以第一个使人做门徒的步骤是施洗。
So this means that when someone goes to lead someone to the Lord, and he sees that they're baptized, then that's all that they need to live the Christian life, right? But Jesus says in verse 20 that it's not just baptism. It's teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. And if you read through the Gospels, and if you read through the Epistles, there's a lot of explanation of how someone who is supposed to be a Christian ought to live their life. It tells you how you ought to handle your finances. It tells you how you ought to relate to other people. It tells you how your family life should be run. It tells you how a church ought to be governed. It tells you how a church ought to discipline itself. It tells you how you should stop living in the sin that you're living in. It tells you how to change your life and to start living rightly before Christ. And so there are a lot of commands that are to be taught. There's a lot that people need to understand to rightly live the Christian life. And says, teaching them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you.
In
verse 20 ends with a promise. It says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. You know, sharing your faith can be a little bit nerve-wracking and frightening. And perhaps you say to yourself, well, I've never memorized a plan for evangelism. I can't witness to people. I could never be a missionary. I've never been trained. There's no chance that I could ever make a difference. Note how the commission begins, that the authority is from Christ. Note how the commission ends, that Christ is with you always. He who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is the one who goes with you as you carry his name to the nations. Let me ask you some questions this morning. Is Christianity to you something so intensely personal? That you see yourself having no need to share the gospel with those around you? To support the cause of worldwide missions. Or to even end up going yourself. Or maybe you think that it's enough that I simply ask my friends to attend church with me. But they never see Christ in you with how you live. And they never hear the word of the gospel from your lips. How can we say that we are keeping the Great Commission under those circumstances? The Great Commission says it's to all nations. And perhaps we need to examine what we need to do as a church to begin to reach out into other ethnic communities. Both here in Minnesota and across the face of the earth. Let me end where we began with the service. Look back at the 67th Psalm. This really is missions from the perspective of the Old Testament. In the end, God rules the nations. Let me read this text for you and then we'll close. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, the command that you've given to your church is clear. That we are to make disciples of every nation. And Lord, I fear that we have not fulfilled our task fully. Father, we are so self-centered that we are focused only on us or those that look like us or those that speak the same language as us. Father, we pray that you would pull us out of our selfishness and that you would help us to begin to share our faith effectively. And that this church would become a beacon of light, not simply here in the southern half of the Twin Cities of Minnesota, not simply through the people that we support in China or Taiwan, but Father, that we would be a beacon of light across the planet. That your gospel would be spread through the efforts of those in this church. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. Please rise and turn to hymn number 489. So, 请起立。